Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. And we are continuing our Carn Donagh debates. And we have another four candidates in with us now. Ideally, we'd have loved to have been able to accommodate everyone at the same time, but we're going to give everyone equal shout, which means we're probably going to go over some of the same issues again. But I suppose that's important, as I say, that everyone gets to speak about what's important to them. So what we'll do first and foremost is allow our guests to introduce themselves to you. You'll be familiar with some, maybe not as familiar with others. We'll see. Albert Doherty of Sinn Féin, good morning to you. I suppose a minute or so, just to let people know why you think they should vote for you.
Morning, Greg. Good morning, listeners. Greg, we're facing an ongoing housing crisis, a health service that's at breaking point, and a cost of living crisis. And these elections now are an opportunity for people to have their say on the change that they want to see. That change starts locally. It starts with delivering local authority housing for people that need it, delivering respite services for families, reopening local health services such as the social daycare services in Cairn Hospital, which were removed by the present government. And myself, Paddy McLaughlin, Pearse Doherty and Chris McManus are a team at local level, national and European level. That's why change starts here. It starts with the local elections on June 7th next.
Michael White of the Green Party, what do you bring to the party?
Well, first of all, I want to apologise for not canvassing over the last few weeks, but that's because we're moving out of our house because of a MICA rebuild, which starts next Tuesday. So I'm out of the house on Friday, so that's why I haven't been putting up posters or knocking on doors. But so I'm from Moville and living in Greencastle, and joined the Green Party in 2017. So I suppose MICA will be the number one issue on everybody's minds and what we can do about that. Aside from MICA, because I guess we'll talk about that later on, the main reasons I would ask people to vote for me and for other Green Party candidates, number one is climate change. If you're worried about climate change, you should vote for the Green Party. And locally in Inishowen on climate action, I'd like to see faster rollout of protections against extreme weather events like intense flooding. Then things like more EV charge points, more cycleways, more retrofitting, etc. Secondly, then, I think Inishowen is fantastic, but we can make it even better. We could create more jobs locally by supporting local tourism, promote our coastal communities, and promote our historical heritage from Allen to Carn Donagh and from Greencastle to Uris. And thirdly, I'd like to speed up the regeneration of our towns and villages. So we need more hotels back in action like we know in Moville. We need to convert more derelict buildings faster into homes and shops, and we need to increase the tourist amenities we have locally. And finally, I'd like to focus on our cultural heritage. I've been doing a lot of work to try and conserve Greencastle. I'd like to see other, you know, promotion of traditional and modern music, promotion of the arts, movies, visual arts, and in particular, promotion of the Irish language.
Thank you very much, Michael. Paul Barry McKinney. Do I call you Paul Barry or Paul?
Barry. Yeah, Barry's fine, yeah.
Okay, I'll just call you Barry. Barry McKinney.
Hi, good morning, Greg. Thanks for inviting me, first off. My name is Paul Barry McKinney, but everyone knows me as Barry.
No problem.
I'm running as an independent candidate for the June 7th election. A bit about myself. I emigrated to Taiwan working as a teacher. I came home about 2 years ago and started a small outdoor education business in Bonagie, Kildaff. Why I'm running is probably a good question. So I've always been very outspoken about the failures of the council and the lack of common sense involved in the decision-making process. I think normal people like myself are very underrepresented on the council. We all know that it's become an old boys club where councillors are more concerned with the personal relationships they have with each other rather than what is actually good for the county. I grew up very poor. We lived in actually a rundown thatched cottage when I was young. I don't own a house personally. I don't have a big pension. I won't inherit anything. I'm just a regular Inishowen man. I understand hard work and what it's like to struggle for normal people. We have councillors now who have been on the council for 10 or more years, and in my opinion, they had the best seats in the house to watch the decline of our communities, our houses and our health services, and now they claim that if you re-elect them, they'll be the voice to fix it. If you hired an engineer to build you a bridge and it collapsed, you wouldn't hire the same man to fix the bridge for you, would you? I believe I'm the only truly independent candidate, as I have not accepted a penny of donations from any political party, organisation or private interest. There's a huge problem locally and nationally of independent councillors who are like Scooby-Doo villains, where you pull off the mask and they're secretly Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil or Sinn Féin.
Okay. All right. And Donald McKinney of the Irish People's Party.
Good morning, Greg. Just like to say, first of all, I'm standing because I think our leaders have gone rogue and it's time to replace them while we still have a nation left. A century after gaining our freedom, the Irish people face challenges that threaten not only our way of life, but our very existence as a unique group of people. The government and mainstream media, influenced by extremist NGOs, are promoting policies that are destroying Ireland and the Irish nation. These policies include open borders, an embrace of the globalist agendas that confuse social norms and prioritise globalism over the interests of the Irish people, and that's clear to be seen at local level. Most young people still live at home with their parents and are unable to move out. Yet we can welcome the world and house the world. This is insane. If young Irish people cannot be housed, they cannot start families. No Irish families means no future for the Irish people. In addition, migration levels are overwhelming our culture, the way of life, and this must be stopped and reversed. In response, the Irish people, a new political party, invited regular people to step forward as candidates to replace these fools who are destroying Ireland.
Right, well, we'll be respectful with our language if that's possible, Donald, but take your point. In relation to that, yesterday we had Dr. Anne McCluskey in from the Irish People's Party as well. We're obviously going to talk about defective concrete blocks. You mentioned the globalist agenda. She's of the view that the defective block crisis is engineered as part of the globalist agenda. Do you share those views?
Well, it does become clearer the more we investigate into it that there's been absolutely very little done to stop this happening. I took a court case personally and 8 other people against the manufacturers of the blocks almost 20 years ago. And we got nowhere with that legal case. Now, there's no explanation as to why nothing has been done in that interim period. It's absolutely, you know, criminal that these people have been sitting on their hands with information that they knew it was a pyrite crisis. They invented the mica as a way of disguising and deflecting us and putting us on this path where we've been on, going down rabbit holes for the last 15 years.
But do you believe this is an Irish problem, or do you believe there's global influences in the defective concrete block crisis?
Well, it's definitely an Irish problem, and it's an Irish own problem. Wherever it came from, we're left to deal with it. And no doubt, we have been deliberately taken off. There was an existing scheme there, so there was for pirate in Dublin, and they had to come up with a different scenario, a different name, and the word mica as the thing that they used to deflect us from getting on that pirate scheme, the Dublin scheme that was already existing, and we should have, and we still should get on that scheme. That was 100% for the repairs, 100% for your accommodation, 100% for your storage of all your furniture and goods and decorating and everything. That's a 100% scheme. We're never going to give that with the existing guys. Sinn Féin are never going to deliver that. They're not going to be in government. Their support is disappearing like last year's snow, because people's discovered that they're not what they said they are.
OK, well, we'll come back to that. Michael White, as you mentioned yourself, your canvassing, obviously your home life has had to take priority in terms of canvassing. So you're going through this scheme. You know your reflections on it. I mean, you've got first.
Well, it's not immigrants that made my concrete blocks. It was locals. 100% Irish. God bless them. So that's number one. Secondly, we should do a quick poll around the room to make sure everybody agrees the earth isn't flat, because that was, I believe, one of the
comments. Well, that was someone else, but anyway, we'll not go down that
I mean, I think the focus on immigration, I mean, there is a focus on immigration, but I think it's the wrong focus. I think of the top four or five
things. We'll come back to immigration. Yeah, okay. I really want to speak about the defective concrete at the moment.
The defective concrete.
And it's just to make sure that I think everyone has something to say, and I know it's a bit of, we're repeating a little bit, but I don't want you guys, because you come second, to be disadvantaged, because you might feel you're going over old ground. So if you could just get that out of your mind, because I want to be as fair as possible to everybody, if that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, and being very briefly.
And we'll start with defective concrete, and then we can move on to other issues.
So the scheme's too complex. There's a number of things that are really obviously wrong with it. And number one would be, for example, having to pay for your own foundations. There's a set of things that everybody agrees. So the problem is trying to make sure that the change gets enforced. So there's a small, in terms of practical things, there's a chance now we can get the SEAI retrofit grants just automatically allowed in for the DCB scheme. That would get close to 100% coverage, but it still means everybody's having to pay up front and then reclaim in arrears. The question I have, and it's not about any particular candidate here, we've got the Department of Housing and the Department of Finance are the two departments that control what happens with that scheme. And you would have thought, you know, Joe McHugh had been chief whip in the Fine Gael government, and then you have Charlie McConlogue, who's Minister for Agriculture. It's a concern that if they couldn't get it over the line, who will do? So it's a concern. But everybody here agrees the scheme needs to change. The set of things that need to change are pretty obvious. Number one, foundations. Number two, people shouldn't have to pay for arrears. Where the big challenge is the lack of accommodation in Inishowen. It's a nightmare. If you've got young kids that are in school or whatever. So those are the challenges. I think we all understand the challenges, and most of us agree that they need to be changed. The challenge, I think, is those changes have to happen in Dublin, and I'm not 100% clear how that can be made to happen.
Yeah, well, have you had any contact with the Green Party, which is in government?
So
have they been able to give you any insight as to why these changes aren't happening? Because you've not direct access, but...
The influence I've had, so I'm trying to influence that SEAI decision, because that would get us close to 100%. Just informal chats, there's a couple of problems. One, a number of people in Dublin sort of thought they heard the 3 billion figure and they thought problem solved. So there's a lack of focus there. Secondly, it is the Department of Housing and the Department of Finance that control this. And it seems to be not at a political level. The officials are sticking their oar in, stopping things going forward. So that's a political problem. That's something that all of us have to get sorted out. There isn't a magic wand, but it needs to be sorted out in the short term.
Barry McKinney, who will be Paul Barry McKinney on your on the voting slip. Barry, what's your views on this?
That's been a torture my whole life.
Are you from Strand, is it?
No, I'm from Carn.
It's kind of an old thing where it's in my family as well, where you use your second name instead of the first name. But anyway, Barry, go on.
All right, so on the topic of defective blocks, I believe in the People's Document put forward by the 100% Redress groups. Not just the redress part of that document, but also the idea that council executives who oversaw this catastrophic failure need to be held accountable and to face consequences. If the same councillors go in into that council chamber, I believe there will be no repercussions, no accountability, and no real change. While canvassing, I've seen the extent of the damage across Inishowen, the heartbreak these families are facing, the financial cost, the mental health struggles, the effect on the children. I mean, Craigtown School is crumbling. It's a sandcastle. People in council estates have no hope. And it's the same with multiple community centres, sports facilities around Inishowen. A neighbour of mine actually had his house demolished. It's a detached bungalow, and he's out 100 grand out of pocket. So I don't know where this 300 euro comes from. I don't even know where this 40 grand comes from.
I think you're referencing Donald Mandy Kelly yesterday said that he knew two people got it within the scheme. One was 300 out, and then... That's what you're referencing, yeah?
Yeah, that's what I'm referencing. I think that's ridiculous.
Okay, Albert Doherty, I'll come back to you, Donald, because we kind of started with you, but I'll come back to you. Albert Doherty, again, and I'll put it to you as I put it to Tony earlier on, you know, like, this has been so distressful for people, and a lot of people are pinning their hopes on, A, you know, the support holding up and Sinn Féin being in government, but B, particularly delivering on this plethora of commitments that they've made on many issues, not least effective concrete.
Yeah. It's important that I welcome a past pupil of mine here too at the round table. So.
Is it Donal?
Barry.
No, it's not Donal.
And everyone was good.
Sinn Féin are giving a clear commitment that if they're in government, they will deliver a genuine 100% redress scheme for all homeowners living in their primary principal residence and for landlords with one property delivered, this time by the state, from start to finish. And we're highlighting the issues that need to be addressed, because at the moment this is a grant scheme. And I was in Muncrana when Deputy Doherty committed to this, committed to the People's Document, where 95%...
Well, just to be clear,
also
he didn't commit to the document in its entirety.
Committed to the two issues I've just mentioned, which would deliver for 95% of those immediately affected. And this would be alike rebuild for modern standards, an option for self-build, and we have committed to working with the campaign leaners in implementing the document that we just mentioned. And from our perspective, the door is open to find a solution for everyone. Under Sinn Féin, nobody will be left behind. And 100% means what it says in the tin, and the people's document will be a working document.
You'll say no one will be left behind, but people in holiday homes will be left behind. People with commercial premises will be left behind. People with agricultural sheds will be left behind. Schools will be left behind. Leisure centres will be left behind. Local facilities such as Rye and others, they will also be left behind. So really, I'm not having a go, but you can't say no one will be left behind when you have picked a cohort that won't be left behind, but there is a full plethora of Craig School will be left behind.
Yeah, government and being in government should provide a five-year programme to address issues. And these are the principal issues that I mentioned first.
So this is a realistic residence. Delivery, that's what you're saying.
Very much so, because I concur with what Barry said. I've been out and at Cricktown School, my own municipal building in the town of Carndonagh. The farming communities all have issues that need to be addressed. But this is a scheme about prioritisation. And the prioritisation that I've mentioned is the two areas that will be prioritised or delivered first. But all issues will be looked at and all issues will be addressed, because we would want it being the remit of the state from start to finish.
I'll bring anyone back in as they wish, but we are going to have to take a break shortly for the news. But before then, Donald McKinney.
Well, Sinn Féin can't be trusted. That would be my starting point. They had the option of getting this IS-465 scrutinised. They could have pulled the trigger on that, and they didn't do it. And I don't understand why that wasn't done. Like, I think they're using the Mica and the victims here as a political football for them. So it is, they have almost blackmailing the people here. Vote for us and we'll get your houses fixed. Well, I just do not trust them. They've let us down on so many other issues. So they have.
Such as
the immigration issue. They're for open borders. And the two, like the housing, we have far exceeded our capacity to accept any more people into this country. We've had 430,000 new people in the last 2 years into Ireland. And that just cannot, and that's having a direct impact on the people with the defective blocks. The pay rate scheme or whatever it is, there's no capacity there for people to find alternative accommodations, and
do you think the lack of accommodation for people to move out of their houses to get them fixed is anti-immigration?
It's all housing. It's all part of the housing problem, so it is. You can't solve one without dealing with the other.
Okay.
We need common sense politics, and it's not happening.
So okay, well, listen, we're going to take a break for the news. We've got a full hour afterwards, okay, so we can dig a bit deeper into this, and I'm sure there's other issues that you just want to raise as well. We do appreciate your time. You're listening to the voices of Albert Doherty, Michael White, Barry McKinney and Donald McKinney, and we'll hear much more from them in the next hour after we take a break and the news. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We're in the last hour of Tuesday's show and we're continuing our local election debates, and our focus is on Carndonagh. Of course, there are 4 seats up for grabs, 9 candidates, so it's going to be hotly contested, as you can imagine. And we have in studio with us now, having had a number of candidates earlier on, Albert Doherty of Sinn Féin, Michael White of the Green Party, Barry McKinney, Independent, Donald McKinney, Irish People's Party. We can start to move on. But did anyone else want to come back in there just on the defective blocks issue?
Yes, go ahead,
Barry. Yeah.
I think that we need a scheme that is foundation to chimney, like for like, as they got in Leinster. The exact same redress that they got. We're not second-class citizens in Inishowen, and we needed councillors who are ready to fight for us. Another thing is that, I mean, nearly everyone in Inishowen is connected to the construction industry in some way. Most of my family are plasterers, and a plasterer's pension plan is, once your back goes out, you have a pension house maybe, you have a house or two. Or I chatted to a boy yesterday who has 4 houses, and he saved up every penny he had. He didn't buy nice cars, he didn't go out. He bought 4 houses, and that's his pension plan. So it's not some demon landlord. This is how people are planning to go into their retirements. and they need to be also covered by this scheme.
Yeah, OK. Albert, were you indicating there?
Yeah. The defective block resolution will not come directly out of Lifford. That doesn't mean that Lifford hasn't a significant role to play of lobbying, of ensuring that the local messages are delivered to Dublin from Donegal. One, for example, is the number of facilitators that we presently have. That is totally insufficient. And as councillors, we put forward motion for additional facilitators to help these people deal with significant, difficult forms, and that answer should come forthwith. Also, and all of people around the table indirectly are mentioning it, there's more as well, and not alone just in the concrete house, but it's the mental health of our families, the mental health of our pupils, the mental health of our communities. And I've been a member of the Regional Health Forum, where I've brought these items for the attention seeking support. And even yesterday at Donegal ETB, the whole issue and an invite to the Minister of Education to come and visit our schools and visit our communities so that this can be a collective decision after hearing collectively from all the councillors that the defective block resolution needs everybody's attention.
Did you want to come in there?
I would just like to say...
Donald, sorry, I beg your pardon, Donald.
This defective concrete blocks issue is the fault of the parties, the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Sinn Féin. They've been the three major parties, and I think when people go to the election booths, they need to vote for independence, or people that haven't been connected to that, because there has to be a price to pay for the absolute total failure in the last 20 years. And it does seem hard to think of any excuse as to why it took so long to regulate these, test the quarries, have the blocks, the NSA. Why are they sitting on their hands for so long? So for democracy to work, people have to make them pay at the box in local elections, general elections. So I would just like to say that's what they have to do.
Michael White, you indicated you want to come back in there.
I'd kind of reiterate the points Albert was making. While people are angry, it's natural that they'll want to vote for independence, but that's really not going to change the MICA scheme. It'll have to be guys who are connected to whoever's in government.
Why not a clean brush?
Because they won't. Whoever's going to end up in government, it's not going to be dominated by independence. Whether it's Sinn Féin or the Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil. Sorry.
Just one second. You can come back in. Go ahead.
So if you want to get the defective block scheme changed, you need to have a route to the main parties that are going to be in power either now or in the next election. Whoever's in power in the next election, it won't be.
But some would say that wouldn't appear to be working so far, so why do the same again?
It's worse to an extent. Compare the previous scheme to the current scheme. The current scheme, bad though it is better than the previous one, and changes are being made. This SEAA thing may come through, so incremental changes are being made. Those changes are unlikely to be made by independents. They're not going to have any influence.
These schemes, the two failed schemes that we have been deliberately designed to fail. So they have. Dublin, the very smart people there, the advisors and all, are very clever. They know what would work and what didn't work. That's why they could not let it go through legislative scrutiny, because if it did, those things would have been ironed out, and that would have defeated the purpose for the government parties, because they did not want a viable solution. They
just
were
in
designed
relation,
to fail, and they have to pay.
Michael, just in relation to the role of independence, I mean, at the end of the... Sorry, Donald. Sorry. In relation to the role of independence, it's independents that are propping up this government, and any time this government needs its support, they effectively can go with a wish list and properly deliver for their areas.
Yeah,
and that's a secret little deal that's done in the background.
Yeah, but the wish lists are fairly small-scale stuff, like Michael Lowry getting bits and bobs delivered for a hospital in Tipperary, whatever. It's not big scale. It's not going to be changing. You're not going to get a $3 billion scheme changed by independent councillors or independent TDs. It'll have to be one of the major political parties that has to get behind this.
Did you want to come in there, Barry?
It's public opinion that's going to change this.
Exactly.
It's not going to be some boy sitting in an office in Dublin who makes all the decisions. His hand is going to be forced by public opinion. And independents have control of that public opinion, because we're actually representing people. And who are the Green Party going to shake hands with next time, you know?
I think in public opinion in Donegal, if that swung it, then we would have had the defective block changed already. It's trying to get through to the centres of power in Dublin is what's going to change this scheme.
Well, people here have been misguided, they've been deceived, they've been sent down every rabbit hole, as I've said before, and you know, I think they're starting to see the light now. They're starting to see that they have been deceived.
And Donald, would you support the likes of the Mike Action Group, Mike Action Group, MAG? Would you support what they're doing?
Absolutely.
I'm just trying to figure out who you meant down the rabbit holes. That's okay.
So, yeah, but they have been, I would say, influenced too much by the political parties. They were definitely, you know, we were all naive. We didn't realise the depths and the deceit and the cleverness of the political parties, and actually denying us the same treatment as the people in Dublin. Mm-hmm. They got 100%, and we should have been allowed on that because we have pirate as well. Yeah. And
we couldn't have just gone on that scheme, but I presume you're saying we could have got a different scheme.
Similar scheme.
Albert Doherty, often what we hear is, and from members of your own party too, senior members of the party, is that, you know, this is the civil servants, the senior civil servants. When I say that, I think people locally know I'm not talking about the hard-working people in the offices around here. We're talking about the suits in Dublin. That they pull the strings, the permanent government, you know, it's they that's frustrating the system and so on and so forth. And we heard also, I seem to recall Mary Harney saying that she was going to go in and make big changes. And then when she went in, it was like, oh, wow, OK, it's not as simple as we first thought. Like, how can you or your party assure people that it won't be the same again, that it won't be your government, if in power, which remains to be seen, sort of blaming civil servants, saying this is what we want to deliver, but it's civil servants. Do you know what I mean? There's the out, and people might be concerned about that.
Yeah, good point. And if the permanent government, the guy in suits, continue to make permanent mistakes that deliver permanent hardship for us in Donegal, then the permanent government needs a shakedown, shake up. And that's something that I am quite comfortable that a fulsome Sinn Féin complement of TDs and government will bring change into the senior civil servants. And I've met and I've been at meetings, delegations, where the council went to talk to these senior officials. And you're right, they're quite difficult. But I am quite happy that if these issues require to be addressed, and I believe they do, then a new, hard-working, dedicated Sinn Féin complement of TDs and government will deliver for Donegal.
Barry McKinney.
Seems as if you've already got your excuses made for whenever you fail, and the fall guy next time is going to be the permanent government, and Sinn Féin is going to use that for the lack of
Barry,
success.
You want to come in as well?
We don't plan to fail.
All right, you can't be too precious, Barry. Jump in there.
Yeah, so I think the entrenched councillors are going to have a very hard time kicking their friends out of a job. I think that's at the end of the day. I think you work very closely with them. You've known them for 10, 20 years. And are you going to kick them out of a job? Are you going to hold them to account? I mean, these are people that you know very well. Are you comfortable doing that? Because I'm comfortable doing that.
Are you
I have
talking
no
about
connection
the executive
to these
of the council?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's mechanisms in government to get these rid of
think
these
the
people.
I executive locally are the problem, though, Barry. I think the problem we have is the Department of Housing and Department of Finance in Dublin. And
I think it's both. I think it's both. I think it's also the executive on the council have a lot of role to play.
A few people pointing out, Michael White of the Green Party, that you talk about working for rural areas and working for the young people, but there is a sense amongst at least someone listening that it's actually really Green Party policies that are most damaging to rural Ireland in terms of, you know, development, provision of houses, getting around the place, that there are more contributory factors to emigration, for an example.
Well, that's not correct. So we've invested 300 million in rural buses, for example. The number of public transport rides in the northwest has increased by 400%. The retrofitting is happening in Donegal as well as everywhere else. There's, I think, 48,000 houses retrofitted last year. So those are all things that those retrofits create jobs locally here in Donegal, and they also make houses warmer and safer. The public transport works here. Hopefully any bus driver will consider voting green this time. So there's the policies of the Green Party are beneficial for rural Ireland as well as urban Ireland.
Do you share that view, Albert Doherty?
Yeah,
I mean,
would share
your policies as well. Not your policies, they may well be your policies too, I don't know.
I share that the issues to be addressed are Dublin Central. I would take Mario on that if there's a shakedown required also, and you might not be too far on, if there's a new shakedown required to apply extra pressure at council level And I've mentioned earlier about the need for additional facilitators, about the need for Donegal County Council officials to be shouting loud to Dublin when they need these additional supports to help us deliver a better programme here in the county. I'd support that.
Yeah, but you're literally in the council, Albert. You're in the council currently, so you could be progressing this forward if you see these up until now, if you saw these gaps.
I haven't missed an opportunity, be it a council question or a council motion that issues to address the housing connected to the defective block have been put to the forefront by me and my Sinn Féin colleagues.
Yeah, OK. Did you want to come in, Barry? Sorry.
I mean, we all know about a report from 2017, and I think a timeline needs to be made of when decisions exactly were made, when houses were purchased using government money or council money, and a strict timeline needs to be made, who made these decisions and exactly when, and what facts were known to them when they made these decisions, and what are the repercussions for making those decisions are going to be.
There has to be repercussions, absolutely.
Okay.
It needs to be an inquiry into that.
Listen, we can return to that issue. A lot of people keen to know, though, what yous would do to try and improve services, be it having to travel for healthcare services to Letterkenny, if you're in the north of the county, to Buncrana, or if you're in the north of Peninsula, even all the way down to Dublin. What gaps in services for your region do you see? I'll start with you, Michael White.
I guess I've been concentrating more on economic impacts. So the ones that are obvious, if say from our part of the peninsula, Moville 20 years ago, you had three hotels, the Fort, the Foyle Hotel and McNamara's Hotel. One of those is now in private ownership. One is owned by an English guy that just letting it go to rack and ruin, and one is being used for refugee accommodation. So those are the kind of things I'd be focusing on first of all. In terms of services, the provision of health services, in my experience, isn't bad for accessing normal services, but I understand there are, I heard in the previous debate, there are issues around respite care, etc. So, like any counsellor, I would try and...
But your experience of sort of access to GPs, dental, no issues?
I got to say, as a personal thing with me and my kids, it hasn't been so bad. And I may be exceptional, but I use a Moville GP clinic and... Yeah.
Well, you think as somebody who's involved in the Green Party, that moving the dentist out of Moville and making people travel to Buncrana would be an issue?
I need to be... My family are involved in the dental service in the public sector in Northwest. I can't really comment on that. I don't want to put them in a difficult position, so...
Okay, kind of hamstrings you a little bit, though, in a debate.
Yeah.
But
they work in public practice, so...
I take your point. Albert Doherty.
...local areas not and decentralise these... Like, the HSE is not fit for purpose when
you go back. I'll get to you in a second. Yeah, Albert?
Sorry. I think for health to be delivered to our peninsula, to our county, you need outreach centres where these facilities are available. And, for example, the decline or the removal of an outreach centre for dental facilities in Moville is totally unfair. The solution is going to a state-of-the-art primary service in Buncrana, but that does not meet the needs of families in Greencastle, Moville, Redcastle, whose child may have an appointment and suddenly what could have been an hour in the day becomes a full day away from school, a full day away from your work. And that outreach centre hits in my own town as well, in Carndonagh.
So you're in the Regional Health Forum, you make representations. Have they explained to you what the problem is?
Totally, yes.
What did they say?
The embargo. The embargo has been thrown up as an issue where there are posts remaining to be filled that could address the CDNT, that could address the CAMS issue in Carndonagh. And yet, I attended a meeting with Mary Butler where she said, money is not a problem. And there's a 9 million surplus in the Ministry of Health, and yet we have all these local issues, CAMS, respite, Riverwalk House in Carndonagh, new floor, new facilities available, but the staffing's not there and it has not resumed. Prioritised to commence in May, now put back to September, an area where respite has been offered in the Letterkenny area with nothing in the shown for the last number of years, prioritised, brought up by me at every goddamn Regional Health Forum meeting that I could attend and bring this matter up. These are the issues that need to be addressed. And I just remember Tony Doherty in a quotation when we were looking about the delivery of daycare, social care in Carndonagh. He said, a measure of who we are as a community is how we treat the older people in our society. Well, we have a lot of work to do from the Department of Health, from the HSE, to deliver better services for our people.
Right, Donald, thanks for your patience. Come in there.
No problem. Well, the embargo, like, where do you even start with that? You know, we, as an ideology, and you share that ideology of using agency, foreign agency staff, in preference to local people and giving local people jobs. We look, our own local people are having to emigrate. They've been pushed out. Agency staff are dominating all areas. If you just need to go to the hospital, I spent Christmas in.
Yeah, but there's no sort of
the embargo. There's no doubt the embargo has been used to facilitate the agency staff.
But just in relation to the sort of people, just in relation to people, foreign nationals as you call them. Some of them are naturalized as Irish. A lot of the staff, you know, across the country, 45-odd% of them are maybe from foreign national background. Not necessarily brought
but
in by agencies directly,
but we don't know. The embargo has facilitated agency staff,
but I don't know
Who's filled the void?
Like, how do you know the makeup of agency staff in terms of their background?
Like, I've spent, like everybody else, I attend with my children the hospitals, all the services, you know, and it's all agency staff.
And how did you find the treatment given to you by those people?
The treatment's good. Right, communication would not be what it would be from local people.
They got you back on your feet.
It wasn't me personally. I have a son with...
No, I'm not going to ask you your own private stuff, Donald.
Listen, the preference would be that we have local people in those positions and that they're not having to go all around the world to get work. They come back here sort of in their droves when they were sent out a memo during COVID to come back and they would be given jobs here. They come back in their droves to get jobs, nurses, doctors, healthcare professionals, physios. None of them, hardly any of them, got jobs here. The agencies were prepared to them at all times, and that is something the embargo was deliberately put in place to facilitate.
No, one of the greatest problems there actually was the HSE were taking staff out of nursing homes to work in the hospitals.
Absolutely. Undefensible the way that the HSE has been managing the health.
Barry, service. I saw you a note there.
My cousin, just recently, a few years ago, she graduated as a consultant and she worked in the Mater Hospital for 2 or 3 years, and she said it was the worst years of her life. Working for the HSE was hell. If it wasn't for these foreign national doctors and nurses coming in, we'd be crippled because we're not treating the staff well enough. Absolutely. And we're lucky that they put up with the treatment they get from the HSE.
Contrary to that, the Irish Times had an article a few weeks back where they talked about doctors and consultants in the north moving down to the south because conditions are so much better and they get paid much better.
They are getting employed by agencies.
Or health service clubs.
Which is costing us 1.5 times employ somebody directly.
I do want to disagree with this non-national.
I just see the agencies thing. You seem to be connecting agencies with migrants.
Absolutely.
And I don't see any proof of that. I don't see any proof. Also, it's disrespectful to the staff. Sorry, I started to talk.
No, but my point is I don't think we can make...
The training of people coming in.
Yeah, but I don't think we can just make this absolute correlation between agencies and foreign staff. A lot of the agency staff are Irish as well.
Our health service functions because of really well qualified. We're really lucky to get the immigrants that we get to work in our health service. I think it's disgraceful to suggest that's a negative. We're really lucky. We're getting some of the best qualified people to come here and work here. It keeps our health service working at a good level. We do have the health service can't be that bad. The consultants here get paid much more than they get paid in the UK.
Nobody's advocating for zero people coming out of the country, but we're just saying that it has to be managed properly.
Well, how many
in a positive way?
There's 45% of people from outside of Ireland working in the health service. Do you have a figure that you think is an acceptable amount of people from overseas working in the health service? Like, it's 45% at the moment. What would you like to see that?
Probably 20%, probably, yeah.
So you'd like 25% of those working in the health service to, in inverted commas, go back home?
No, not like in a hatchet way like that. The same way as I've implemented this slowly, the same way now our kids should be given like an over a period of the next 20 years.
We've got 4%
going forward.
We've got effectively no unemployment in this country. Our kids don't have an issue. If they want to go to, you know,
we don't have full employment in this country.
We do.
We do.
Our people are being forced to emigrate. So they're at, just look around you and I show.
Yeah, but statistically.
You can base statistics to try and make it say anything that you want it to say.
Okay.
So you can. Or the fact is, if you go to Perth or any of these towns in Australia or anywhere else, it is absolutely jam packed with the cream of our society.
We also talk to employers in Ireland who are finding it difficult to find employees. People choose to go for other reasons.
Listen,
as well.
We are making no effort whatsoever to keep them here. ADA doesn't even look at.
There's dozens and dozens of highly well paid vacancies in Inishowen across a whole myriad of between construction and manufacturing and what have you, and there's no one available for those jobs. Donald, I'm not saying, but you know the jobs are there, and we have. Albert, did you want to come back?
Yeah, just briefly, and just maybe on this dental and dentist issue again. Yesterday in a national media, I saw where significant interest and wish to work in the 26 counties was being expressed and was being confirmed by many, many people who'd worked in the dental and under the British scheme, where the insufficient funding, they were now being coaxed, or maybe as a result of wanting to have a steady income, moving into private, abandoning the British health centre. And that's maybe a reflection on what's been across there in the Conservative government. But that's for other people to fight. And an influx into the 26 counties. So there is an example.
There's a slight irony there, though, that your government, your party's government in Northern Ireland. And the situation is so poor for dentists there that they're coming to the 26 counties where you're not in government.
The irony is on who is the paymaster for the six counties, and the paymaster's in the House of Commons and the Lady of Threadneedle Street, not in Belfast. And give us sufficient funding.
So why are we fighting for
Michelle and the Sinn Féin?
I know this is not a council issue. Why are we fighting so hard for the return of Stormont then, if it still makes no difference?
Well, I'd be hoping it makes a significant difference when we replace the government.
There's an issue here, and again, some of these can't be solved locally, but the point everybody's made about the embargo is a really blunt instrument and it's really bad. And the second one is there's an issue with dental services in particular. A dentist in the private practice can make way, way more than they can in public practice, and that's an issue as well. So it's been resolved for consultants in the general medical service, but not in, and again, I need to caveat that I got members of the family in the dental service.
It's quite common knowledge that they have to cut back on their public patients because they couldn't function and run the dental practices.
And this ties
unless they focus on the private. I mean,
and
that's
this ties
pretty
into
common
something
knowledge.
Sweet people complain about immigration, and in fact, you should be complaining about lack of resources. So the reason there's paucity of, or you know, the thinness of the dental services isn't because there's a huge migration. It's because people aren't giving money into their services.
The dental service in this county, in this country, is heavily reliant on overseas dentists. And I know that is an absolute fact.
We need to train our own. We need a college set up here to train dentists.
But you can't force people to stay either here, Donald. Like, I agree with you, there's an awful lot driving people out of the country.
People would jump at the chance of training to become a dentist.
Would they?
And they absolutely would. And the other thing is the same with all medical professionals. When we invest a lot of money in training them here, they should be tied to a 5-year contract with here after they qualify. If not, we spend a $250,000 or something.
That's a controversial one, Donald. So you're saying that if someone is a teacher, dentist, doctor, whatever it is, if you get a CEWS grant, you should be obliged to work in this country for a period of 5 years.
Absolutely. Well, why invest, as is happening now, we're investing massive amount of money in training doctors and nurses and consultants, and as soon as they're qualified, they're just free to go. Like, it would not stand up in any private business.
So if I get this right, I'm not being argumentative with you, Donald. Part of your plan is that you discourage people coming here freely to work, and you force those who educate themselves here to stay and work.
You have a needs-based immigration system, like as employed all over the world.
An a la carte system.
Absolutely, okay.
Albert, and then I want to bring Barry in.
I just want to say that this issue also begs, How can things change at ATU level, at University of Ulster level, and in the North West City region, that we can highlight that under the North West Regional Assembly, we're a region in transition that needs input, that needs additional funding, but that we can also work as a region with, as we do in relation to working with Derry, Strabane Council and Donegal, promoting the area and in some way attracting people to come and train and remain.
Well, there's no professors up here. No, in the Republic. We have the lowest spend per head, per student.
To housing and all the rest.
In terms of the investment in the education system.
However, there are no students from the south coming to Derry.
Go ahead.
I think we need
the
to bring it back.
Him too. He could lift the table and chuck it at us.
I think we need to bring it back to the local issues here. If you want to talk about the HSE, then let's talk about how the HSE are treating us locally.
Right, I'll tell you. Shall we take a break and I'll come back and give you a couple of minutes to make that point in its entirety? How does that sound? All right, we'll be back with more in the 9 till noon show after we take this break. Stay where you are.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Okay, we are continuing our series of debates. We're focusing on Carndonagh, an interesting morning of debate so far. Thanks to Oisin Kelly, by the way, who has set all this up for us, along with Joe Dex as well. Couldn't do without them. We're in the company of Albert Doherty, Michael White, Barry McKinney, Donal McKinney. Barry, you were just about to make your point on the health service, was it?
Yes,
health in general?
We were talking about the HSE. I think there's been a systematic decline in all of our rural services now. The HSE have been moving people about like pieces on a board without any thought to the impact on a community. 4 days ago there, the Moville dentist closed its doors without any warning from the council. But a week or two before that, parents in the Moville schools were getting health check letters out, and the place that they were supposed to go was Buncrana. So obviously someone knew one or 2 weeks ago, at least before this happened, that it was going to happen. Mm. And the council obviously weren't on the ball. And
should that not be a function of the council, Albert, that information must be passed on to you guys and you must then pass it on to the electorate? I mean, that's...
Wouldn't it be lovely if it was a requirement of the HSE to brief the council? But I would like just, while supporting Barry, saying that this... emanated from parents in Moville, and I pursued this with a HSE direct question, and was advised that it was to do with personnel and personnel reshuffling, but that there was no threat.
Why is it always people being shuffled out of North Innishowen?
It was infectious disease prevention, that's what it was about. That's what their official statement said anyway.
Yeah. And that's the same thing that they're using for the excuse for the closure of the respite. Respite services on the day.
Because even during COVID, it was Carndonagh and missed out because those staff were needed somewhere else. They never returned.
And
then it was closed for a long time because there was a homeless person in there, going back to the housing crisis. And unbelievable
which
that
prevented
you have a respite
a health
service.
And safety, and therefore respite suffered.
That is absolutely. Yeah.
Agree
go
with
back
you,
to
Donald,
the housing
agree
crisis. That is, you know, it's just
a lot of people. A lot of people.
We have way far past capacity to take any more people.
A lot of people look after their own in terms of staying in Innishowen. Even if there is, development in terms of, job opportunities. I talked earlier on about vacancies. But a lot of people, I'll come to you first, Michael White, are saying, even if we develop in terms of the finances of the region and all that kind of stuff, is no one can afford the rents. The rents are double what they were. They're couch surfing. They're in their mum and dad's spare room. They're in their 30s, heading towards their 40s, some of them, and they can't get any accommodation, and any accommodation that is available, you're looking at 1,200 euro a month. I mean, who would have ever thought that in areas like, Ballyshannon, Dunloe, Carndonagh, maybe Letterkenny, that we'd be talking about rents that are higher than many people's mortgages? What can be done or what should be done?
Well, first of all, I agree from personal experience, because we're getting our house rebuilt, we went and checked around, Quigley's Point, place for 1250 per month, where they're asking you for your 3 month bank statements just to view the house. You think it was, this isn't to rent it, just to view it. You think it was Upper East Side, New York. So absolutely, there's a problem with accommodation, and that's something the council can help with and councillors can help with. So need to speed up delivery of accommodation. I think We need to look, a lot of stuff is Airbnb. It's very hard to get long-term rentals around Inishowen or the rest of Donegal. I also understand that people want to, if they've got a house, they want to Airbnb it, but there needs to be a compromise between the two that to try and get more stock available.
So are you saying you incentivise through taxation long-term rent and disincentivise short-term letting? Because you can't ask people nicely. So how do you get some of that short-term let into the long-term market?
I think we look at other parts of Europe, like Portugal, where they're beginning to put in, where Airbnb is still going, and but where there's a freeing up of long-term rental stock. There's a real lack. Just like there's none. There's almost no long-term rental stock around. There's also things in, again, I'm talking about practical things that can be done locally, like speed up action on derelictions. So get more staff into the vacant homes office in Donegal. More, just speed up more energetic action. Vacant spaces around, if you go into any village in town.
I have a big issue with this. Yeah. You can see what's coming down the line here. They've created the problem, the housing problem, and the next thing coming down the line is compulsory purchase. Anybody that has spare property, and Sinn Féin are absolutely pushing this agenda.
Can I come in on that? There's a lot of misinformation on that. Yeah.
It's very important that it's fact-based.
I'm not here to defend. I'm not here to defend the government, right? People before profit put a motion down along the lines of what you're talking about, and Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael voted against it.
Yes,
and yet I see on the Facebook. Once they get this election over, they're going to get back to the series of elections. Barry, you're doing fear porn here now because you're saying no matter what happens, it's all going to go to pot.
But can we go back to the original question, which is how do we get more accommodation in Inishowen? So cut the nonsense about compulsory purchase orders. There are loads of property.
Just let Michael speak, please.
If we take somewhere like Mobile, there's a number of big vacant properties, and there's also like a hotel lying undeveloped. There are things that the council currently has the rights to start stepping in. So they need to be more energetic about. You see it now a bit more in Letterkenny, where you'll see a notice on a door saying that this is, you know, subject to inquiry. Just, we need to speed that up. If there aren't enough resources in the county council, this is something local councillors can help with. Get the council more resources so they can speed up the renovation and getting property back on stream. And also the turnover time in council houses, you know, when they have to get refitted and turned over, that needs to be speeded up as well. So those are practical, immediate things.
The zombie banks. Banks are not lending to anybody in Inishowen.
None of the things I suggested require the banks to help.
We bailed out the European banking system, so we have been paying the price for it since that. So we have, and now nobody can get a mortgage.
Again, just coming back to this, you've made these points about immigration, immigrants and the problems that... They're not the source of the problem. If you look at... Just go back to the banks. As a country, we're paying €700 million per year in interest payments on the debt we took out to bail out the banks 10 years ago. That money would pay for the four or five defective concrete box.
Yeah, but every country's paying massive insurance to write down debt, isn't it?
Hold on a minute. It's a good point. We... Privatized.
My point was that wasn't immigrants that caused that bank crash 10, 12 years ago. We're paying out €700 million.
I don't want to preempt what you're going to say in relation to the housing crisis and the rental crisis. And you might say we've got too many people in and we not need to take any more in and what have you. But we have in Inishowen way more property than we like. In other words, in terms of derelict properties that wouldn't be hard to get back into use, So in terms of derelict properties, vacant properties that we could get back into use really, really quickly would meet the housing needs of Inishowen if that were done correctly. But you probably feel that that's not the issue. The issue is there's too many foreigners coming in.
It has to be controlled and has to be a proper needs-based immigration system. Nobody's denying that, you know, you need in certain areas, you know, immigration. But it's the immigration that's the big one for me. So it is. We are not doing anything to keep our young people here. Absolutely. When you look at right across the board, how to start businesses, it's not happening. You know, they can't afford the rates of pay that people are offering, but the cost of the rents and accommodation doesn't pay it. That's why people can't accept these jobs.
And what would you do if elected to the council?
In their bedroom, they're on a trap. They say they stay in the bedroom in the mum and daddy's house or get on the plane.
And do you see your platform if elected to council? Because, I mean, obviously we all can see there's not some stuff that's not much can be done about it at council level. Is it to be a dissenting voice? Is it to raise the issues for these people?
I'm part of a group of independents.
Party?
Yeah, right across the county, and even any independents. I want a government led by independents, and this is going to be a very real possibility in the next parliament, so it is.
Okay, we'll see. Did you want to come in there, Barry?
Yeah, as I said, it's such a complicated issue about housing, but very few people are offering real solutions that are viable. Obviously, the vacant... I mean, I've been canvassing extensively, and just say, take as a microcosm, Kildaff, for example. About 70% of houses in Kildaff are holiday homes. They're purposefully vacant or they're derelict. The derelict home grant is a great thing, but a lot of the people who own these homes just couldn't be bothered. And why would they sell these homes whenever the government are massively taxing people for selling their multiple homes? Yeah. What's it like, 50% tax if you're selling your second or third home? What we need to do is incentivize people to get these get these houses back in circulation. Mm-hmm. There's some people that have holiday homes, they have mica, or they have defective blocks, they have vacant properties they couldn't be bothered with, they inherited. To get these back into circulation, we need to stop with the stick every time and try a carrot. We need to incentivize them by cutting the tax. Imagine that if I was going to buy a house now and the market, the seller had bought it for 100 grand and he's selling it for 200 grand. Now, if he sells it for 200 grand to someone who owns multiple homes, then the government would take 55,000 euro off him. But if he sold it to me, a first-time home buyer, and they cut that tax, he would actually be up money. So I could offer under market value for that house as a first-time home buyer. It would get me onto the property ladder.
And he wouldn't be out.
And he wouldn't be out, exactly.
Albert, he makes a strong argument because, you know, when we have good plans, like I think the majority of people in Donegal seem to think the vacant property grant is a good plan, right? Yeah. Now, obviously, the front loading is an issue and that is what it is. But if you get it right, you know, we're seeing lots of little farmhouses, old schools, all this kind of stuff starting to be come back into use. They have to be rented long term for 5-10 years, sorry, or you have to live in them for the same period. You know, would you be in favour of more carrot and less stick, as Barry has been talking of?
Oh, I'd like to see probably plenty of stick at the beginning.
When
we commenced this, it was about the significant price level that there is. And that will be reflecting demand. And demand and a significant high price will only be affected when there's sufficient supply.
Must live in the demand.
And in the supply, remember you're chatting to an opposition person here, not the government person.
Mm-hmm. Right,
this demand will be met when there's significant roles played by the government, significant roles played by the council, and significant roles played by approved housing bodies, all that have key areas to play.
In the interim, Albert, the vacant properties, the properties that could be used for housing, not for housing, you don't see them as part of the solution in the short to medium term?
They are the most significant part of the solution because, as Barry said, be it Kildaff or my own town, Carndonagh, there are so many vacant properties that little incentive is needed, but the incentive is stopped because the fundamental flaw is there's no upfront payment of supports. This keeps people either, I'm not going to get interested or I'm not going to follow down that road. And Sinn Féin want changes, and they will make changes in this regard.
That's a simple thing, is it not? That's a bridging loan from with the credit union, you know.
The thing, though, is, Donal,
the one thing is that, like, you keep talking about compulsory purchase of private properties.
It's coming down the lane, absolutely. Yeah.
But it's not proposed by anyone.
Listen, it is proposed. If you
don't say I'm telling to do the research because I actually am the one person that has done my research.
If you read the white papers, it was coming down, and you decipher the
people before
you decipher
profit.
The people, language.
No, but people before profit are the only party that put this motion down.
They're flying the kites, so they are, and for the rest of them, absolutely. And that is what's coming down.
So you're saying that you believe that's coming down the line because you've read between the lines?
Well, anybody that you know follows politics can see this is where it's going.
The only official mention of compulsory purchase is in regards to the Greenway project. That's the only mention of actual compulsory
purchase. Yeah, but that's just part of development. I think what Donald's talking of is the state taking over people's private property and giving it to other people.
The state has said in a statement recently that the way they're going about housing people, immigrants coming into the country is not working, they're too much, it's too volatile, so they're going to have to step in with measures of their own, and you can see where it's going.
Yeah, but you're just spreading fear there.
I'm not spreading fear at all.
It's not based on anything factual, and I have an open ear for everything.
Watch this space. You'll see what's coming down the line.
Okay. The state as well, at presently, the Department of Housing have a four-stage approval process which eats up far too much time to houses that are needed now in various local authority areas. And between funding for the housing, funding towards Bord Planella to enable more staff, to enable proper decisions, to enable earlier social housing provision in our counties, that is very, very required presently.
All right, 086 60 25,000. Keep your calls and comments coming to us, 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. I just want to see if I can get through as many different priorities as is possible. Safer streets, you mentioned, Michael White. What's brought that to the fore for you? When you talk about safer streets, what are you talking about? Just conscious that we have about 6 minutes, so we're going to have to split this time up a little bit.
By safer streets, we mean a village in Donegal. The purpose of that village isn't to let somebody get from one end of this to the other as quickly as possible in their car. So, again, I'm be talking locally in Greencastle.
So you're on about safer streets to use our shared space.
Exactly, and have it predominantly focused on people walking and cycling and active travel near towns and villages. I know you have to get from A to B through by a car across long distances, but when it's near villages and towns, they're just silly things. And most of the villages you'll see that, so for example, to walk from Moville to the graveyard in Ballybrack, the path stops about half a kilometre from where it should do. Just that's what we mean by safer streets. The other thing, actually, overall too, I'd like to just put a more positive spin on this. As I said, Inishowen is fantastic. There's a real open door in terms of promoting Inishowen. If you look at somewhere like Westport in County Mayo, really, really well-developed tourism, everything joins together. That could be true for all of Donegal, and in particular for Inishowen. We have like a fabulous history. There's great cultural attractions. We just need to start promoting that more effectively and linking it together, where we can get, you know, high net worth tourists coming from places like Germany and Italy and France to visit Inishowen,
I suppose in relation to that, it's a decent point. You know, I thought safer streets was something else that maybe everyone wanted to come into, but I think we all agree. Donald McKinney, the role of a councillor too is to promote what's good out there and what's positive. I mean, you see a lot of good in Inishowen.
Absolutely. Inishowen's one of the most beautiful places in Ireland. There's no doubt about that. And you know, we have the foundations there. You know, I and we around this table had the benefit, you know, of living in an absolutely beautiful place and safer streets, you know, that we had when I was young. I could go to Ballyliffin or Cairn and I could thumb a lift so I could, and there was no danger. Women, you know, and that's the way it was. That time has gone. So it has, unfortunately, you know, we're letting...
Why did we stop thumbing?
Unvetted single people in droves into the country.
And you think that's why people don't thumb lifts anymore?
Hey?
You think that's why people don't thumb lifts?
No, in general...
I'm not being smart.
People don't feel safe, you know, at night walking around their towns and villages, you know, because they don't know who is in their towns and villages.
Is it possible, this is just a question, is it possible that it's because of people like you scaring them into thinking?
Absolutely not. No.
Is it based on facts? And that's only a question.
It's based
on
facts, okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you think, Barry, that people are afraid to walk the streets of the towns and villages of Inishowen?
I'm not. I don't know. Maybe.
Well,
I'm not personally. I don't think. Maybe this whole agenda thing, maybe it's more for big cities and things like that. But I know my wife feels comfortable walking around. My sisters do. My mum does.
You're not pulling people on a high-vis jacket and walking around the cargo nose full anytime soon.
Not particularly. But onto the safer streets thing, though, I really... there's a lot of footpaths that need extending, that need upgrading. From Bunagee to Kildaff, it's well used. There could be hundreds of people on that pier every summer. and there's no safe path there. There's kids that cycle their bikes across there. It needs to be fixed in Carndonagh.
Like, if you look at Quigley's Point, there's that new stretch from Quigley's Point to Derry. When you build a cycle, like, people would kind of look at you as if you had two heads before it's built, but now they're using it. People really appreciate and understand the value.
I don't agree with that at all. That's, the greenway there is from one sparsely populated area to another sparsely populated area. I'd have to take a van.
I think, first of all, I love the towns of Inishowen that I visit. I don't have any reservations about walking them. But I do believe that community policing is very important, and knowing your Garda and your community, and your Garda knowing the local areas. And in Carndonagh, we have a station that was declared unfit for purpose by the previous chief superintendent, and there is a need as well to ensure that there's money put there. I acknowledge the JPC and all the work they're doing, but I think it's mixed in with feeling good, knowing and seeing your local community Garda.
I think it's important to get a new Garda station in Carndonagh. It's very important, but the government also needs to stop using the guards as revenue collectors, because that's an opinion a lot of people have about the guard, is they're just revenue collectors. And I know a lot of you probably wouldn't let your, you know, any of your children guards. You mentioned it yesterday on the radio. Would you let your child be a guard? Would you want them to be a guard?
I want them to have a good think about it, but it's more the public attitude to
guarding.
It's
the public attitude, exactly.
You know, I remember the sentiment surveys where they used to be through the roof, and I think the guards have been...
That's formed by the government. They're using the guards now to batter protesters.
Okay, listen, the very best of luck to all of you. Thanks very much, Michael White of the Green Party, and the best of luck working through the scheme as well, too. It's a stressful time, I'm sure. For you and your family, and as well as that running at in a local election. We wish you well, as we do you. Albert Doherty of Sinn Féin, thank you so very much indeed for sparing the time and coming in to us. Donald McKinney of the Irish People Party, good to have you, Dan. Fair play to you for calling, Dan. Very much appreciated. And lastly, Paul Barry McKinney, independent, but you can call him Barry if you bump into him. You can call him Barry if you bump into him in the street. Thanks very much indeed. Okay. And thank you, by the way, for listening and watching our latest set of debates. We'll be back in the 9 till noon show tomorrow. We have a regular hour between 9 and 10, and then we'll be hosting another debate for you. It's the last, really. We're down to our last three debates. We'll be hosting that for you after the 10 o'clock news tomorrow. But for me, Greg Hughes and the team, Michaela Clark and Shannon Wilkins on the program as well, have a fantastic day, and as I say, we'll talk to you tomorrow from 9 a.m.